Okay, good evening. We are now looking at a discourse for Lech Lecha, which is this week's Sedra. It was said in 1964, and it was as far as I know, it wasn't published then. Some of these 1964, 1965 discourses were published earlier on, but I don't think this one was. So it's very Kabbalistic, by the way, and hopefully we will manage to understand it. So let's just have a look at a few verses of the Torah. So that's on the page from the Chumash. If you got that, that's right. So, Vayoma Hashem el Avram. God said to Avram, his name is Avram at the moment, and the interesting thing about his name being Avram is that Avram means the exalted father. Av, the father, who is Ram, who is exalted. Lech Lecha. Now that's a fascinating phraseology. Go. It means go, but literally, Lech Lecha, go for yourself. So does it mean go to yourself? Me'atzecha, from your land. Umimoladetecha, and from your birthplace. Umibet avicha, and from your father's house. El ha'aretz, to the land. Asher areka. Now, asher areka has two meanings. Go to the land, asher areka, which I will show you. That's one way of translating it. That would be the normal way of translating it. The other way of translating it is areka, means I will show you. That the, in other words, you are the direct object. I will reveal you. Go to the land where I will reveal you. Right? So those are the possibilities of understanding this, of this verse. And then it goes on. I will make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be for a blessing. And it goes on to say that through Abraham will be blessed all families of the earth. But just at the first, on the first verse, let's have a look at the Rashi. So that's on the very first page. You've got the bottom, very lowermost paragraph. Lech lecha, laha'anatecha ulatovatecha, for your benefit and for your good. So God says to Abraham, I'm going to, you travel to the land which I will show you, and it'll be for your benefit and good. All right, so that is the verse which opens the door to this discourse. So we will try to enter that door, and the Maimon Nigun, the melody of the discourse, will help us do so, hopefully. Oh ya 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 yo ya yo ya yera yera ya mbambo. Oh ya ya mba ya mba yo mbambo. Ah yera mba yo ya ya mba yo mba. Oh ya yera mba ya ya mba. Ha yiriramba yamba yoma yiriramba ha yiriramba ho ya ya yiriramba ha ya ya yiriramba ho ya ya yu ya ya yu. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, God said to Abraham, Lech lecha, go for yourself, me'atzecha, from your land, umimoladetecha, from your birthplace, umibet avicha, from the house of your father, el ha'aretz asher areka, to the land which I will show you. Ufidish Rashi, and Rashi explains, lech lecha, go for yourself, lahana'atecha v'tovatecha, for your benefit and your good. V'yadua hakushya, and it's known the question. Lama hutzrach hakadosh baruch hu loma. Why did God have to say la'avraham, to Abraham, lech lecha lehanatcha v'tovatcha. Go for yourself. In other words, Rashi seems to be interpreting lecha, go for your own benefit. That's what, lech, go, lecha, for your benefit. Why does Rashi have to explain it this way? V'lo haya maspik sheyerech rak biglal, and it wouldn't be enough that Abraham should go because of tzivui hakadosh baruch hu bilvan, the command of God alone. God commands you to do something, so you go. Whether or not it is for your benefit or not for your benefit, why should that matter to a great man like Abraham? Abraham is ready to sacrifice everything. So why does he care whether it's for his benefit? And it says in a discourse of the Tzemach Tzedek, who is the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, lived around 1850, in one of the books of manuscripts that recently came out of exile and captivity. This was in the 1960s, was a very remarkable time when there were various stores of Chabad manuscripts which were being brought out of Europe and to New York. So there was a very big stock of manuscripts in Warsaw, which had been put in the Institute of Jewish History in Warsaw, a big building in Warsaw. Those manuscripts came out, I think, in the late 70s and 80s, and suddenly was a flurry of publishing of those manuscripts. But earlier on, from various sources, there were books of manuscripts coming out, and so there is a book of manuscripts of the third Lubavitcher Rebbe's teachings, and so the Rebbe is commenting on that. So there, in that manuscript, it says, Masha Katava Alshech. He discusses what the Alshech, a famous figure who lived in Tzfat in the time of the Arizal, and wrote a commentary on the Torah. And he writes, Shahapedush de lech lecha, the meaning of go for yourself, who? Lecha ula atzmecha atoholech. To you and to yourself you are going. In other words, the fact that Abraham is going somewhere, he's going to his own self. Hainu shiagia leshoresh umakor nishmato. He is going to the root and source of his soul, kamosha hilamaila, the way it is above. So in other words, there's Abraham below, and there's also Abraham above, and there's the source of his soul, and by him doing what God is telling him now, he will be connecting with the source of his soul. Now that's a very interesting concept, because it opens the idea, you know, do we connect with the source of our soul, and is there a way for us to do so? The discourse does not openly discuss it in those terms, as I remember, but we may find, you know, a hint to that as we're going along. Dehine yadua, line 11. Because behold, it is known. And this footnote 5 points out a discourse by Rabbi Shneur Zalman in Likutei Torah. It is known, Shelo kol haneshama nimshecha lemata baguf. Not the whole soul comes below into the body. Eila rak he'ara mimenu, levad. Only a gleam of the soul, nimshecha lemata, comes down below in us. Aval ikar haneshama, but the main part of the soul, nishara lemaila, remains above. Lefi, because shebikdusha, in holy things, eifsha sheyumshach hakol lemata. It's impossible that everything should be drawn down from above to below, v'lo yishaeh shum roshem, and there shouldn't be something remaining above. Because in holy things, nothing becomes empty. You have holiness in place A, and the holiness moves to place B. But there's always holiness left in place A as well. So it's as, you know, I'm not sure whether there is somewhere a discussion of the way that unholy things can actually be cleared out, and they're no longer in place A and only in place B. But holiness, lo zaz mimakoma, it doesn't leave its place, it's always there. So wherever there's something holy, there's always a residual holiness there, or maybe a more tangible and essential holiness. Uvenoger l'nshama, and as regards the soul, ikar shorsha, its main root, nishar lemala, remains above, ba'aretz alyona, in the upper land, called Eretz Chefetz, the land of desire, the desirous land, v'rak he'ara mimena, and only a gleam of the soul, mitpashetet, spreads out, v'yoredet, and descends, lehitlabesh baguf, to be clothed in the body. It's a very interesting way of considering ourselves as a person, that here we are, there is the soul within us, but nonetheless there's a kind of a background, there's a higher dimension to us. The image of the old-fashioned diver who would dive under the sea, and there would be a boat above floating on the water with a pump and the tube which goes down to his diving suit, you know, that's, you know, so we're down below in this world, but there's actually a higher level where our soul, the root of our soul is. And, you know, one might consider what are the ramifications of that. It means it's not just me here and what happens to me here or what I do. There's a whole lot of reverberations. There's this connection to the soul and the root of the soul.
I was thinking of it a bit like, you know, on a screen, you've got a picture, somebody doing something. But way back, you know, what's forming this picture and the
color
and everything.
Right, okay. Right,
similar sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. וכדי להגיע לשורש הנשמה. Now, in order to reach the root of the soul, הרי זה דווקא, that is specifically על ידי, through, ההליכה לארץ ישראל, going to the land of Israel. שהיא מכוונת כנגד הארץ העליונה, because the land of Israel, in some sense, corresponds to the upper land. So the land, so you see, it mentioned that the source of the soul is in the Eretz Elyona, the upper land, the Eretz Chefetz, the land of desire. And the physical land of Israel that you can go to by LL Airlines is directly corresponding to that upper land. And so by the fact that Abraham is moving westwards from where he is to the land of Israel, he's in the east, he's somewhere in the area of Iraq, and he is moving westwards to the land of Israel, that has the effect also of connecting him to the root of his soul. V'zeh olech lecha, and that's what it means, go to yourself. Lecha ula'atzmecha atah holech, as the Alshech said. You are going to you, to your very self. El ha'aretz, to the land of Israel. Ki biyoto b'chutz la'aretz, because while he is outside the land of Israel, harei hu nifrad mi'ikaro v'shorsho, he is separated from his basic root. Ach belechto el ha'aretz, but when he goes to the land, harei hu k'holech u'mitchaber, he is like someone who is going and connecting el atzmo v'shorsho, to himself and to his root. So that arouses the question, how do we fit into that picture? What is the equivalent of going to the land of Israel in order for us to connect our, to connect ourselves to the root of our soul. And there is a famous saying of one of the Chabad Rebbeim, I think it was the Tzemach Tzedek, in the middle of the 19th century, Mach do Eretz Yisrael, make the land of Israel here. And so therefore there's the sense that where we are, we're able to somehow make that into the land of Israel, and by us being there, we're able to be connected with our own group. So the discourse presents this kind of challenge to us that we should be living our life in such a way that we are going into the land, and in that way we are connecting to our own source, and to see that connection with our source as a spiritual goal that we're trying to achieve. Now, line 25. Va'inyan bazeh. Now, the subject about this, which the footnote 8 refers us to a discourse by the Rebbe Rashab, by the 5th Lubavitch Rebbe. She'ika v'shoresh hanshama, the main root of the soul, who kafi she'hi lemayla ba'olam ha'achdut, is the way it is above in the world of unity. U'v'lashon ha'kabbalah, and in the Kabbalistic language, hareze olam ha'atzilut, that's the world of Atzilut, the world of emanation. Ukafi shemosif, and as it adds, as the Tzemach Tzedek, HaTzemach Tzedek adds, he adds in his discourse, Bahaga'ah, in a note, like there's a note in the discourse, like a footnote or something. Sha'afal pi shehov haneshamot, even though most souls, Heim mibriya yitzira asiya, they're from the lower three worlds, creation, formation, and action. Mikol makom, nonetheless, shoresh kol haneshamot, the real source of all the souls, who miatzilut, is in the world of emanation above. Kemavoa gam belekutei Torah, as explained also in that discourse by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, beinyan shchora ani v'na'ava, I am black and beautiful. That is a phrase from the Song of Songs. And I think when it says I'm black, I think that discourse is saying that the soul who is here in the world, as it were, colored by the issues of the world, is like black, but the true source of the soul is above. I think that's maybe what it's saying. I didn't look it up this evening. Uchadei la'agia l'shoresh u'mekor ha'neshama, in order to reach the root and source of the soul, kafi shehi ba'olam atzilut, the way it is in the world of emanation, harezeh al yedei halicha le'eretz Yisrael, that's through the journey to the land of Israel. Now, the journey to the land of Israel is a very fascinating concept. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov undertook a journey to the land of Israel, which was really the start of his becoming the famous Rabbi Nachman. He was already a Hasidic Rebbe, but he decided he's going to go on a journey to the land of Israel, and one of his followers came with him, and it was a whole spiritual discovery for him. In the sense of some kind of inner revelation, which turned him into the famous Rabbi Nachman that we know. So there's this concept within ourselves, that there is this journey to the land of Israel, which means connecting to the source of the soul, the way it is in the world of Ali Atzilut. So even though, as it says in this paragraph that we've just read, many souls come from lower levels, the ultimate root of every soul is from the world of Atzilut, and here we're talking about connecting to that ultimate root of the soul. Right, Otet. U'mamshich ha'tzemach tzedek, and the Tzemach Tzedek continues. Shebeyu ha'inyan, the explanation of this. In other words, it says in brackets, hatam al zeh, the reason why, shebechdei la'agir l'shorcho ba'atzilut, in order to reach one's roots in the world of emanation, atzilut, tzarich liot halicha le'eretz Yisrael dafka, there has to be the journey to the land of Israel, yuvan, that will be understood, Bahaktim tchila, by considering first, beyur ha'inyan de yom tov sheni shel galiot, explaining the idea of the second day yom tov, which we have only outside Israel. Right, so when it was Sukkot, so we had one day of Sukkot, and then here in England there was a second day, whereas in Israel, that second day was already Chol HaMoed, and you could drive and so on. But the in outside Israel, that first day is repeated, and that's called the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galiot, the second day which is only in exile. Now, so what happens then, Kabbalistically? Shebo Nimshach Shefa Elyon Da'atzilut, because on the second day of Yontif, which is only in the exile, there is drawn down of upper flow of Atzilut, letoch p'chinat malchut yitzirah v'asiya, coming down into kingship of Yitzirah and Asiya, hamitlabshim b'shivim sarim, which are enclosed in the 70 princes, shedakam nimshach ha-shefa, and through them the flow flows down, trickles down, livnei Yisrael, to the Jewish people, shebechutz la'aretz, who are outside the land of Israel. Okay, I think we're going to have to try and make a diagram now. So first of all, we have the world of Atzilut. And then we have the worlds of Bariyah, creation, Yetzirah, formation, Asiya, action, and then we have what is called the 70 princes, which relates to the signs of the zodiac and all kinds of spiritual flow coming down into the world. Now, so let's just try and understand this sentence before that we read. What happened on the second day of the festival? The upper flow, which comes from Atzilut, goes into the realm of Malchut, kingship of Yetzirah and Asiyah, from which it flows into the 70 princes in the world, which, and that is where the Jewish people are. That means in the world outside the land of Israel. Now let's try to see how he explains this further. Va'inyan b'zeh. Now what this is explaining is as follows. Dehine yedua, now it's known, shebechinat malchut ha'atzilut, that kingship of Atzilut, eino yaredet lemata litabesh b'shivim sarim, does not descend below to be enclosed in the 70 princes. So we have kingship on this level, and it remains in this pure realm He does not come down into this realm of the 70 princes. The 70 princes is like a secular realm. That's the world of the secular existence. The kingship of Atzilut, even though kingship is the lowest level of Atzilut, kingship of Atzilut remains holy. And so it's only on that supernal level. V'gam malchut b'riya, and even kingship of b'riya, einam yoredet l'mata, einam mitlabeshet b'shivim sarim, also doesn't come down into the 70 sarim. Eile rak b'chinat malchut yitzira v'asiyah, only malchut of the last two worlds, hi amitlabeshet b'shivim sarim, is the one, are the ones within, which are enclosed in the 70 princes, lahamshich lahem ha-shefa ha-raui latet lahem, in order to give them the flow that they need. So if we can represent this graphically, so there's kingship here in red, because it does go down below into the 70 princes, whereas on the level of Bria, I'm putting it in blue because it remains above. So there's that realm that remains above, and there's the realm which flows down below. And about this, our sages said, Galul Edom, when they went into exile to Edom, which is basically Saudi Arabia, or looking at it the other way, it's Rome. Shekhinah imahem, the divine presence was with them. Perush, that means shekasher tzarich lahashpia shefel Yisrael, when God has to pour a spiritual flow to the Jewish people, bizman galut, in the time of exile, when they are under the rule of the 70 princes. See, the 70 princes relate to the 70 countries. There's a famous story of Rabbi Shneur Zalman when he was arrested and he was put in prison. So the Tsar heard that he had this interesting prisoner, and so he decided he wanted to visit him and see what he was like. So he put on plain clothes, like an ordinary soldier, or something like that. And he walked into Rabbi Shneur Zalman's cell in Petersburg. And immediately Rabbi Shneur Zalman stood up and said something. So the Tsar said to him, "What did you just say?" He said, "I said the blessing that is said when one sees a king." So the Tsar said, "How do you know I'm a king?" So Rabbi Shneur Zalman said, "When you came in, the prince of Russia came with you, like the heavenly prince." So one of these 70 princes. So there's this like spiritual dimension. Now, so we being in exile, we are under the rule of these 70 princes. Now, I'm not quite sure who it is that if they went anywhere, the prince of, you know, whether it, Boris Johnson or... I'm not quite sure they have quite the strength of the Tsar. You see, the Tsar was a real ruler in halachic terms because he had the power of life and death. And so without any doubt, you can say the blessing on seeing a king when you saw the Tsar. When there was the Russian Revolution and the Tsar was executed, a famous Chabad Mashpia said, "Oh, we no longer have a mashal for kingship. We don't have a parable for kingship anymore." It's going to be, the Revolutionary Party. It's not going to be the same.
So should one say the same bracha when one sees the queen here? She doesn't have the same power as the Tsar.
I think the resolution is that we do say it because there's the concept she's got a power of pardon in certain... She doesn't institute the death penalty, but she can... Well, because hardly anyone is sentenced to death. But if someone were sentenced to death for treason or something like that, she could suspend it. So I think because of that, people do say it. We said it when I was a little boy at the coronation. So she drove past, and as I remember, we said the blessing. Let's see.
Is there a sort of formula for the flow of the flow that comes down, or is it a matter of a constellation at that pleasant time which dictates how much of the flow comes down?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably a very complex process which is described in certain places. I don't know the details of it, but it could well be. One aspect is that practical Kabbalah, which changes things in the world. I mean, the kind of Kabbalistic teachings we study is what's called Kabbalah Iyunit, the philosophical Kabbalah. But the idea of changing things in the world, where a Kabbalist would do something or write something, and you would have that as a kamiya or something of that kind, you know, uses divine names and all kinds of knowledge of, you know, a flow of life force in various ways. So there might be a whole lot of information, which I don't know. So when God wants to give a flow to the Jewish people in the time of exile, when they're under the rule of one of the 70 princes, Azai Muchrachet, then it's necessary for Hashchinah, the divine presence herself, the Shchinah, Shehi Pchinat Malchut Yitzirah V'Asiyah, and that is the kingship of these two lower levels, Yitzirah and Asiyah, formation and action, Leitlabesh Basari Mahem, to be enclosed in those princes, She Israel Tachat Memchaltam, under whose power Israel, the Jewish people, dwell. Al Admat Chelek Haaretz Shel Asah Hahu, in the land which is the portion of the globe which belongs to that prince. So whether it's Russia or America or Britain or Europe, so there is this power. And so the kingship flows into that particular dimension in order to be with us. V'zeu galu le'edom shchina imayim, and that's what it means when they went in exile to Edom, which we could translate as Rome. The Shchina came with them, imahem mamash, really together with them. V'ahaynu shumitlabeshet b'shivim sarim mamash, that means really being enclosed in the 70 princes of Rome or wherever else they are. So in other words, the general rule of the world is under the 70 princes. So the secular rule, so to speak, of Britain, Europe, America, Russia, the Far East, is under these 70 princes. But for the Jewish people in those lands, there is an extra spiritual dimension, and that is the Shekhinah. And so the Shekhinah has to be enclosed in the secular Chutz La'aretz, the diaspora dimension, in order to be there together with the Jewish people. Do you find it interesting?
Just comforted. You comfort her.
Vahatam, and the reason, Sherak Malchut Yitzirah V'Asiyah Mitlabshim B'Shivim Sarim, the reason why it's only these two levels which are enclosed in the 70 princes, V'lo Malchut D'Atzilut, and not kingship of Atzilut, and not even V'gam Lo Malchut D'Briyah, and also not Malchut of Briyah up here, right, next page, page Zayin, Hu al pi ayadua, is according to the well-known fact, which is in a commentary, footnote 14, says by Rabbi Moshe Zakuto. Ramaz wrote a commentary to the Zohar, and And so, and in that commentary, it says, "Aba ilah mekanina ba'atzilut, chokhma, wisdom nests in atzilut, bina, understanding nests in bria, and it's only the lower sfirot which come down into yetzira." So let's just write this down. It's actually quite a significant thing. So we've got here wisdom in Atzilut, and here understanding in Bria. And then come the six Sfirot, the six lower Sfirot in Yetzira. Now they are the ones which can go down. Wisdom and understanding are on a higher level. So now it's line 3 on page Zayin. V'yodua, and it is known, she'yinikat hachitzonim, that the sucking of the external forces, you see, there is flow of sacred energy, and then there are external forces which draw life force from this dimension, and they are called the chitzonim, and that ultimately can sustain the power of evil. So it is known that the drinking, the sucking of the external forces, he misheva tachtonot bilvad, are only from the lower sfirot. Here it calls them 7, not 6. That means with malchut. It comes from the lower sfirot. Ma she'en kein mechochma ubina. Whereas when we're talking about wisdom and understanding, ein yinikat tachitzonim, the external forces cannot suck from there. V'lechein malchut de bria, and as a result, kingship of bria, of creation, eina yoredet litlabesh b'shivim sarim, cannot come down into these lower 70 princes, ki be'olam ha'bria, because in the world of bria, me'ira sfirat ha'bina, it shines the sfirah bina, understanding, shimemena ein yinikah lechitzonim, which cannot give sustenance to the external force. So you've got this pure sacred realm which can't come down right into the 70 princes. Only from the lower level will it flow down into them. And there's another reason for this. Al-pi ha-yedua, according to what is known, sholam ha-bria, that the world of creation, urobotov, is mostly good, umiyuto ra, and only a bit of it is bad. Now the whole question, what is bad on such a spiritual level? Bria is called the upper garden of Eden. Yetzira is called the lower garden of Eden. So how can it be that there's any kind of bad? But there's still bad in meaning concealment of the divine. You see, bria is creation. The very word means creation. And if there's creation, in some sense there's concealment of the divine. So the very fact of existing is a kind of concealment. Like the famous thing, ha'olam and ha'elem. Ha'olam means the world, and ha'elem, which is the same letters, means concealment. So the very fact of existing means a concealment of the divine. So the world of Bria is mostly good and only a little bit bad. In other words, mostly revelation. Let's try just translate it in this way. Mostly revelation of the divine and only a bit concealment of the divine. Olam Yitzira, the world of formation, is half and half. V'olam Asiya is mostly bad. In other words, mostly concealment of the divine. V'lechein, and therefore, atchalat medor achitzonim. That's why the beginning of the realm of the external forces, he me'olam ha'yitzira ve'elach, is from the world of Yitzira downwards. Shisham, because in Yetzirah, Mechitza al Mechitza, it's half and half, concealment and revelation. Avelo b'olam abriya, but not in the world of Briya, of creation, which is higher up. Me'achas shiru b'tov, because there it's mostly good. Umishum zen, because of this, mitlabshim b'shivim sarim, therefore, only those aspects of kingship of Yetzirah and Asiyah are able to be enclosed in the 70 princes. Now really this is like taking the, I don't know what a good muscle is, but lifting the bonnet of the car and seeing, there's this bit of the engine and there's that bit of the engine and here's the gearbox and here's the this and here's the that. I mean, the insides of cars have changed since I used to. We were once driving somewhere on holiday and stopped the car. I didn't know the car overheated, this, that, the other. I lift up the bonnet. I say to Kate, the fan belt snapped. So phone DAA or something. I say, the fan belt snapped. He said, what car have you got? So I told him. He said, that car doesn't have a fan belt. So the thing is, we're looking under the Kabbalistic bonnet of existence, and there are these different levels, and there's a level of purity and of holiness. And then it slowly becomes more ready to be part of a kind of a secular reality. And we are in this secular reality. We've got a foot in both places. As this image that I've often shared with you, which to me I feel so poignantly expresses it. When I was a teenager and we were in Turkey, and a late teenager, and there in Turkey there is the bridge over the Bosphorus which joins Europe and Asia. And so walking across that bridge, there was a gap in the bridge. And you could stand with one foot on this side of the gap and the other foot on that side of the gap. So in other words, one foot is in Europe and the other foot is in Asia. And later on, I began to see that as an excellent image for the way that a human being is on the border between the spiritual and the secular. And we combine those and the material. And we combine those two dimensions together. So here we are, like, looking at the more intricate aspects of this. Now, so this is describing the basic way that things are normally there, and it's now coming back to the theme of the second day Yom Tov, line 17 on page Zayin. Va'al pi ze yuvan, and through this we can understand Godel achidush b'yom tov sheni shel galiyot, the special significance of the second day Yom Tov, which is only celebrated outside Israel. Shebo mitkale shefa or, because then the flow of radiance of Atzilut suddenly flows in Malchut of Yetzirah and Asiyah hamitlabshim b'shivim sarim. These levels of kingship, which go down into the 70 princes, in other words, they are in exile. They are together with the Jewish people in exile in this profane realm. Suddenly there is a flush of sacred, pure radiance coming from kingship of Atzilut into them. It's as if into the secular realm comes this sacred dimension. Ach, af shebederech klal, even though normally lo nimshach bahem ele rak b'chinat ha-malchut yitzirah va'asiyah bilvad. They normally, in the 70 princes, only have these two levels themselves of kingship of Yitzirah and Asiyah. Ubeprotiot yoter, and in more detail, well, one second, let's just see if we can... Right. Now that's, you see, that is what he has explained as the connection of the soul to its root. Because the soul that is in our body is like the aspect which is here in the 70 princes, that's like in the physical body. The physical body that's involved with the world and with the desire for this and desire for that and eating and drinking and everything else. So that's where the soul is, this lower part of the soul. But there's a higher part of the soul. And the higher part of the soul, he said, even though some souls come from Yetzirah and some souls come from Briah, but actually the root of every soul is in Atzilut. And so what he explained about going to the source of the soul is the connection of Atzilut with the soul the way it is in the lower world. And he's now drawn the parallel between that and the second day Yom Tov. Because on the second day Yom Tov, the atmosphere of secular time is suddenly infused with a powerful blast of holiness from the realm of Atzilut. So in other words, there is a connection between something which, according to the Torah, is not really a Yom Tov at all. It might be Chol HaMoed, or it may not be Yom Tov. Like Simchat Torah in Israel was what we celebrated as Simchat Torah, and Israel was a working day. So that working day, that ordinary working day, is being impregnated by holiness. And that connection of the impregnation of holiness from a very exalted level to us, to our soul, that is something crucial which is taking place.
Are you saying that in Israel, they also get this like boost on that day, but they don't need it, perhaps?
Well, you see, I think what happens in Israel, according to this discourse, is that in Israel, you've got the time of holiness, which is the festival. Mm. And then the festival ends, and it's not festival. So they don't have this point where the holiness enters the profane. There's either festive days, which are min ha-Torah, they are from the Torah, they are festive days, or weekday. We have an ambiguous moment outside Israel. And the ambiguous moment is called the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliot, the second day Yom Tov, which is only celebrated in exile.
It almost sounds as though the second day is holier than the first.
Well, it's very interesting. In a way, it achieves something that the first day doesn't achieve. The first day is like us going into a holy realm. The second day, the extra day, which is only in Galut, is taking some of that holiness into a profane realm and bringing it there into the profane. Here in the world of Galut, the very idea that we celebrate any festival in the world of Galut is a fascinating thing. It means we're taking the holiness of the Torah and a festival that's supposed to be celebrated in Jerusalem. Yes, the festival of Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuot, the foot festivals, everyone's supposed to go to Jerusalem and celebrate the festival there. And what are we doing? We're doing it in London, we're doing it in New York or in Japan or wherever it might be. So we are taking that spiritual energy into a profane realm. And it's even more underlined by the fact of this ambiguous second day, which is there would be an ordinary day. According to the Torah, it's an ordinary day, but through the institution of the sages, with a whole subtlety about the calendar and so on, it is now now impregnated with holiness. Now,
is that what it means when it says Torah lo b'shamayim?
That's a very interesting thing. That is a very interesting thing. I'm not sure if he mentions that. I was reading about that today, and it is very interesting that Torah comes down into the world. See, David is quoting, Torah is not in heaven. There's a famous argument in the Talmud, in Bava Metzia, where someone says, Rabbi Eliezer is arguing with the other rabbis, and he says, if I'm right, let the stream outside the study hall show that I'm right. And immediately the stream stopped flowing. And everyone saw this, the stream stopped flowing. But the other rabbi said to him, look, you know, the stream might stop flowing, but still the halakha goes according to the majority opinion. We are the majority, and so the law goes according to us. So then he said various other things, like all magical things, like let the walls of the study house show that I'm right. So the walls of the study house began curving inwards. And still his colleagues would not accept it. And finally he said, let God in heaven show that I'm right. And a voice from heaven said, Rabbi Eliezer is right. So he said, no. And so the rabbi who was his protagonist said, Lo b'shamayim hi, the Torah is not in heaven. It's given to us rabbis down here to decide. Okay. So David's linking that with this, and it's a very good connection. I don't think this discourse talks about it, but it's a very good connection. The idea of Torah being here in this profane world. Now I think we're going to miss out a few lines. Let's go to line 27. And through this we can understand the great joy which is there on the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliot, of the second day of the festival, which is only in exile. It's even more joyful than the joy in Israel. You see, Simchat Torah, which outside Israel is a day just devoted to Simchat Torah, and is a tremendously joyful day. In Israel, they don't have that. Shmini Atzeret functions as Shmini Atzeret, which is quite a serious day. You say Yizkor on Shmini Atzeret. You begin to ask for rain, the Tfilat Geshen, and there are all kinds of things which make it quite a serious day. It's only outside Israel that we have the next day, which is Simchat Torah, which is joyful and drunken and everything else. It's, they don't have quite that atmosphere in Israel. Shazel kamo al derech mashal. Now that's like the image of the Ben HaMelech, the prince, Shahaya b'shivya, who was in captivity, asur b'chavlei bazel, and he was bound with chains, iron chains. Azayka sheyatzal lecheirut chavshi, when he goes free, v'shavel aviv HaMelech, and he goes back to his father, the king, to delight in the food, of the beautiful food that the king's table has. Hasimcha hi gedola me'od, it's tremendous joy. Yoter ma'asher im lo haya asur b'shivya klal, much greater joy than if he'd never been captive. V'haya kol yamav al shulchan ha'melech, and all his life had been at the table of the king. Yeah, there's an artist, De Shiriko, who did some beautiful paintings, I think as a kind of a series, several, called The Prodigal Son, which is this kind of image of the son who's been away and then who comes back. V'alderech zelemayla, and similarly above, b'malchut di yitzira v'asiya, in kingship of yitzira and asiya, שמתלבשים בבחינת גלות בשבעים שרים, that they are enclosed in exile, in the 70 princes. In other words, that's like the prince who's in exile. כשמתגלה שם, when there's revealed there in that exile, גילו אור ושפע עליון, the upper radiance, that zilut of the world of emanation, coming from that higher point, Azai tigdal ha-simcha b'yoter, then the joy is much greater me'asimcha shemitzad itgalut than there is in the joy because of the revelation of Malchut Datzilut שמעולם לא ידע בסייטה מדרגה, which never descended into the lower levels, להתלבש בשבעים שרים, to being clothed in the 70 princes. So if kingship of Atzilut is revealed on the ordinary days of the Yom Tov in Israel, then that's beautiful, it's very holy. But it's nothing like the joy that there is outside Israel when you have the day of Simchat Torah, which in Israel is already an ordinary day, and in England is taking the holiness and bringing it into the ordinariness. V'zoi ma'alat ha-simcha de Yom Tov sheni shel galuyot legavi Yom Tov rishon shebe'eretz Yisrael. That's the special quality of the joy of the diaspora Yom Tov compared with the first Yom Tov that is in the land of Israel. The feature be Yom Tov Rishon Shebe'eretz Yisrael, because on the first day Yom Tov in Israel, mitkale shef atzilut b'malchut d'atzilut b'ilvad. All that's revealed is the flow of atzilut into kingship of atzilut, and it stays up there. Or be Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, but when it's the second day Yom Tov of the exile, nimshach mitkale shef d'atzilut, the flow from atzilut goes into kingship of Yetzirah and Asiyah and down into the 70 princes. So now we come back finally to the whole story of Abraham going to the source of his soul. Gimel, sexual gimel. Ubezeh yuvan inyan lech lecha. Now from this we can understand the whole idea of lech lecha. Go to yourself, go to your root. In order to reach the root and the roots and source of the soul, but olam atzilut, in the world of atzilut, tzirch liot adicha michutz la'aretz la'aretz Yisrael dafka. Abraham has to go from outside Israel, like the realm of the 70 princes, into the world, land of Israel, because he's got to try and find this realm of Atzilut. Ki biyoto b'chutz la'aretz, because when he's outside Israel, tachat memshelet ha-shivim sarim, under the rule of the 70 princes, wherever it might be, shesham me'ira rak b'chinat malchut yitzirah v'asiyah, because there, it's only kingship of yitzirah and asiyah which is there, not the real root of the soul, which is kingship of Atzilut. Lo nitgale mimekor nishmato, the source of his soul is not revealed. Ki im kamo shehi b'malchut yitzira, only the way it is in these lower levels. Avel al yedei aliyato el eretz hakedusha, but through his going to the Holy Land, shemechuvenet keneged malchut debriya v'atzilut, which corresponds to kingship of Bria and kingship of Atzilut higher up, then there shines the root of his soul b'malchut d'atzilut, in malchut v'atzilut. Ad kan tochen ha-maimah shel ha-tzemach tzedek. That's what the maimah of the tzemach tzedek says. So in other words, Abraham is going from outside Israel into Israel in order to connect with the world of Atzilut, with the kingship of Atzilut, so that his soul, which otherwise is outside, is in the physical body of a person, is now being connected inwards. And the whole explanation about the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot helps us understand this structure and helps us understand the need for him to go into the land of Israel in order to connect with his soul. Now, you see what intrigues me, learning this maimah, and the maimah doesn't spell it out, as far as I've been able to understand it, is to what, in which way this is reflected in our own service of God. So it's as if there must be for us times when we go into the land of Israel, the spiritual realm. For example, when a person davens, I'm suggesting this, the discourse doesn't say it. For example, when a person davens, and davening is like a sacred part of the day, you know, it's described as the Sabbath within the ordinary secular day. So there we are in a secular day, and we suddenly enter into this sacred realm. And Shabbat, of course, is sacred in relation to the days of the week. And that is a time particularly suitable for davening, when the person is able to make this inner connection. So we need to be able to find opportunities for this spiritual connection for our soul, which is otherwise in the realm of the 70 princes, for that to be connected above and connect with its source. Now, having said over and explained the discourse by the Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbe now comments on it. And that's in Os Dalet, section Dalet. Omnam, however, this explanation, that lech lecha hu inyan alicha l'shorsho mekoro, that idea that lech lecha means going, Abraham going to his root and source, hu lefi ha-perish ha-pashut, follows the ordinary explanation, shekaei ala alicha milamata lemaila, that we're talking about Abraham moving from below to above. See, the literal geographical situation. He's going mechutz la'aretz, from outside Israel, somewhere in the east, le'eretz Israel, to the land of Israel. Shal yedei ze yitgale bo mekom nishmato. And through this, the source of his soul is revealed within him. So in other words, someone moving from a profane realm to a more sacred realm. Ba'adayin tzarich la'avin, but we still have to understand, eich yatim peirush ze, how this whole explanation that we've been exploring, how it fits in my peirush with the alternative understanding, which I mentioned at the beginning, or hinted at, shelech lecha u'inyan ha'alicha milamayla lamata. Lech lecha means going from above to below. As it explains, kamavor b'torah o, she's okay. As it explains in Torah, Avram, the name Avram, who Avram, the exalted father. And the exalted father means Seichel Hanela Mikol Rayon. It means a very exalted level of the mind. And God said to Abraham, go for yourself, meaning, thank you, thanks very much. Meaning that Abraham should move downwards, that she'oro ha'ne'elam, that this hidden radiance, yetzeh le'gilui, shall be revealed, v'yumshach milamayla lamata, and shall come from above to below, el ha'aretz, to the land, el lebchinat malchut, to kingship. So in other words, that's looking at the story of Abraham in a different way. We've been looking at the story of Abraham being outside and going into the holy realm. And this other interpretation is that Abraham starts off in a very holy place spiritually, but that's only for him, Avram, the exalted father. Now he has to come down into the world and spread this radiance so that others are able to connect with it. So how does that fit with this whole discussion here? Ahainian hu, the Indian is as follows. In order that there should be the descent below, first there has to be extra radiance from above. The only way you can go down and be in a lower level is by having a connection to an even greater source above. The whole concept of shlichut, we're coming up to the shluchim conference, Mitzvah. How does shluchim work? They are able to go and be in Timbuktu or wherever it is, through the fact that they have a connection above. And that connection above is the spiritual input which enables them to then go down outside the conventional Haredi Jewish community into another realm which is completely different. So there first has to be the extra flow from above. Shezel shetchila nicha Avram. That's why Avram is initially called Avram. Seichel anela mikol rayon. Now we're on the last page. The level of mind which is completely beyond and hidden. V'achakach nitvasef lo od hey. And then there's a letter hey which is added to Abraham's name. And instead of being Avram, it becomes Avraham. Shuinyan hamshachat b'chinat atik, that means drawing down an exalted level of Keter, Shehit galuta b'sfirat habina, which gets revealed in the world of, in the sfira of bina, of understanding, v'al dedei zeh ha'yefshar liyod etzlo inyan ha'yerida lamata. And through that explosion from above, he is then able to come down below. V'al pi zeh ati shapir, and that's clear, that fits with what we're saying. Also, according to the second way of understanding Lech Lecha, that it's a movement from above to below, it's through that movement downwards that he reaches his source. Now that's maybe the line that I was looking for, which I hadn't noticed when I first read this today. Let's say the shliach going on his shlichut or her shlichut, or the person, the individual in their own realm, whatever it is, their shlichut to achieve, which means going down and going out, that's their land of Israel. That's the way in which they connect with their source. So the person who's sitting satisfied in a nice, comfortable Jewish community, that's lovely, but how does he or she connect with their source? They connect with their source with going beyond that in some way, going outside that in some way. And that's the way in which they connect with their source. So that's the aspect of the discourse which is talking to us. It's not just talking about Abraham, it's talking to you and me. And that's also what Rabbi Shneur Zalman says, explaining Asher Areka, the word Areka. The word Areka can be understood as the land Asher Areka, the land which I will show to you. Delechora in a muvan omro Asher Areka. But why does it say it like that? The land which I will show to you. V'lo Asher Omar Alecha. Why doesn't it say the land I'll tell you about? The way it says in other things, but it means Al Avraham Atzmo, it's talking about revealing Abraham himself. Arev Agale Otcha B'Atzmecha, I will reveal you in yourself. Hamahut HaPnimit, look at the little commentary on line 30 and 31. Hamahut HaPnimit Shelo, the inner nature, Tavo L'Dei Gilui, will be revealed. That applies also when you're talking about the movement from above to below. Through that dafka, you get the idea of lech lecha, that lecha ula'atzmecha atoholech, you are going for your own benefit. Shemagia l'shorsho mekoro, whether you're going from below to above or above to below, and that's the way you connect with your real inner essence. I must say, I think that's a very remarkable discourse. It's like, you know, the map of a person's life.